Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. After months of rancorous fighting, Congress is sending a $95 billion foreign aid bill that will assist Ukraine and other U.S. allies on to President Biden. NPR's Claudia Grisal supports the Democratic-led Senate tonight overwhelmingly approved the plan, which also directs aid to Israel and Taiwan.
The Senate Democratic and Republican leaders both took victory laps ahead of the plan's final passage. Here's Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, the Senate sends a unified message to the entire world. America will always defend democracy in its hour of need.
Last weekend, House Speaker Mike Johnson defied hardline Republicans who were furious at him for relying on Democratic votes to help advance the plan. It directs about $60 billion in military aid to Ukraine, roughly $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. It also forces TikTok's Chinese parent company to sell the popular app or face a U.S. ban within a year. Claudia Grisales, NPR News.
Day two of testimony in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial resumed with the longtime publisher of the tabloid, The National Enquirer, back on the stand. David Pecker telling jurors that he had promised to be Trump's eyes and ears during his 2016 presidential campaign, agreeing to help suppress harmful stories, even arranging to purchase a doorman's silence. NPR's Amanda Bustillo has been covering the trial. She says court proceedings began with a heated exchange between Justice Juan Merchan and Trump's lead lawyer over a gag order, which prosecutors contend Trump violated.
Prosecutors asked Merchan to impose a $10,000 penalty and asked them to be removed and warned Trump that incarceration is an option for violating the order. Trump's lawyer argued that Trump was simply defending himself. Now, Merchan has not issued an order yet, but he did seem impatient with Trump's team, at one point warning that they were losing credibility when they kept insisting that Trump is just trying to be careful with the order.
NPR's Amanda Bustillo. Google has fired more employees after they took part in a protest about the company's work with the Israeli government. Last week, it fired 28 workers. NPR's Derek Kerr reports.
Dozens of Google workers staged sit-in protests at company offices last week. The employees demanded Google stop selling its technology to the Israeli government. Google and Amazon have a billion-dollar cloud computing contract with Israel called Project Nimbus. The protesters say this technology could contribute to the strikes on civilians in Gaza. Google fired 28 employees after the protests last week, and now it's fired at least 20 more, according to employee group No Tech for Apartheid. Google confirmed it fired more workers, but declined to say how many in total. A spokesperson says these workers were involved in, quote, disruptive activity. The protesters say their sit-in was peaceful. Dara Kerr, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is calling a Russian missile strike on the city of Kharkiv that toppled a television tower, an effort by the Kremlin to intimidate the country's second-largest city. Kharkiv has come under increased attack, with Zelensky saying it appears to be aimed at limiting the city's connections and access to information. The Kharkiv region in northeastern Ukraine is near an area where Ukrainian and Russian forces have been in intense fighting for more than 2 years. The reports tonight have continued Russian attacks on residential areas there. The letters of a legendary mountaineer from the 1920s who died trying to summit Mount Everest have now been digitized and posted online for the public to see. NPR's Joe Hernandez reports the archive includes three letters found on George Mallory's body decades after his death.
The online archive was created by Magdalen College at Cambridge University, where Mallory went to school. It includes letters, diary entries, and even several poems written by the British explorer. They detail his military service during World War I, as well as his three expeditions to Everest, located in the Himalayas between Nepal and Tibet. In one of the letters, Mallory writes to his wife, Ruth, saying the Everest expedition's odds of success are, quote, 50 to 1 against us. Mallory died on that trip, his third to the mountain, in 1924. His body was found by a team of mountaineers in 1999. Joe Hernandez, NPR News.
Crude oil futures prices rose as investors shifted their attention to global earnings. Oil up $1.46 a barrel to $83.36 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.